the wrath of the Lord is great and indeed will come to pass. But because Josiah has been faithful, there will be grace and favor in his time. Verse 29. Then the king sent word and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. The king went up to the house of the Lord, and all the people of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the Levites, all the people both great and small. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant that had been found in the house of the Lord. The king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord, keeping his commandments, his decrees, and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book. Then he made all who were present in Jerusalem and in Benjamin pledge themselves to it, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem acted according to the covenant of God, the God of their ancestor. Josiah took away all the abominations from the territory that belonged to the people of Israel, and made all who were in Israel worship the Lord their God. All his days, they did not turn away from following the Lord, the God of their ancestors. I encourage you to read again the story of Josiah. Read on into chapter 35, and you'll hear the story of a great Passover celebration. It says that there was no Passover like it since the time of Samuel. There was something so deeply passionate within this man, Josiah, that he was so dedicated to worship, even from a very young man. For some reason, somehow, there was something about him at age 16 that had been seeking after the God of his ancestor David, that he knew was good and important, despite what everybody else had done, despite what his father had done, despite what everybody else was doing. There was something within Josiah that pointed him to God, and he held that desire to worship so deeply and so profoundly. Josiah's a hero. He goes about this worship reformation. He goes throughout all the land. You get the sense within what is being recorded about Josiah's life, about how bad things have got. So the Assyrians from the north, a heinous army, have come down and all but ripped out the tribes of Israel. 10 tribes of God's people, all but ripped out. There's a small remnant left that have come to escape in the towns of Judah and Benjamin. 2 tribes left. Gone. Josiah goes throughout all that's left, even the ruins, the towns that are inhabited, and he gets rid of anything that could be described as worship or honoring to anything or anyone that is not the Lord, the God of his ancestor David. It's a worship reformation. This reformation goes to the center of Hebrew worship, which is the temple in Jerusalem. That reformation required a full-on renovation. They're ripping out everything that has been left to go to ruin. They're rebuilding. They're cleaning up. They rip out what's not wanted. They're restoring what's broken. And they're cleaning up God's worship. And it goes very well. They find what's called here the Book of the Law. Probably a really good guess would be that it's the Book of Deuteronomy as we have it today, that lists the rules, God's great 10 commandments through Moses, curses for doing wrong, blesses for doing right. And Josiah pauses and he hears these words. He knows what his ancestors have done. He knows what the tribes of Israel have done. He knows that God's wrath must surely, surely be upon his people. And he's deeply afraid. He hears God's word and he just takes it so seriously, and he realizes that it impacts his life so deeply, and he seeks the Lord. And he turns that seeking again into worship for all God's people. He takes the position of leadership that he has and he uses it to the very nth degree. And he leads God's people in worship. He reads the word. He leads them in worship. Josiah was a worship reformer. David's great son. Are we ready to look to Jesus? Can we take a great son of David and use that story like a lens that allows us to focus on Jesus in a new and special way, that brings light to Jesus in a way that we see Jesus more clearly, so that we may say in this worship season, I will worship wholeheartedly, dedicatedly. I will worship the Lord Jesus. Are we ready to look to Jesus? Josiah was a worship reformer. Oh, so was Jesus. Jesus walked into the temple. The temple, which was the center of worship of God's people. And he sees the money changers bringing about gain for themselves, gaining riches out of God's worship. A selfish, indulgent pursuit. Right at the very heart of God's worship. And what happens for Jesus? His anger is lifted. John records the story. Jesus takes up a cord of ropes, pushes the tables over. Money goes everywhere. He's a social menace. That spirit that was in Josiah that cleaned out the temple and made a worship reformation, that same spirit rests on Jesus. Jesus reaches back and he takes the words of the prophet Isaiah and he says, my house shall be a house of prayer. But he says, you have made it a den of robbers. Jesus wants a worship reformation for his people in his day. In John 4, John records this beautiful interaction between Jesus and a Samaritan woman. The Samaritan woman hasn't had a great life, and she knows that she's got things that could have gone better for her. And Jesus extends grace. He kind of has this word of knowledge, prophecy about this woman, and she recognizes him as a prophet. She says, surely you are a prophet. And so she asks him the big burning question of the day. You see, the Samaritans had their special place of worship, a special mountain that was their special place for worship. It was different to Jerusalem and the Hebrew mountain for worship. And so she asks him, so where is it? You're a prophet. Is it this mountain, the Samaritan mountain for worship, or is it Jerusalem, the Jewish mountain for worship? And Jesus says, well, there's a time coming that is now here, where true worshippers will worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. You see, as the worship story builds up through the Old Testament, it comes to this fulfillment in Jesus. And he kind of blows it out of the water. He says it's not about geography anymore, about getting to a particular place at a particular time, but it's about you and your heart before the Lord. And he's inviting in grace the Samaritan woman to come and truly honor the Lord in a new and special way. Can we hear those words for ourselves? Can we hear those words of the Apostle Paul, who said, commit your bodies as a living sacrifice to the Lord, which is your spiritual worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Then you'll know what is the will of God, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. Paul knew that there was to be a worship reformation in every individual. Jesus extended that message of grace. Are you willing to come and worship in spirit and truth from the heart, from where you are? Do away with the trappings. Do away with the tinsel. Let it be a heart response before the Lord God Almighty. Can you worship the Lord this Christmas? I think of Jesus pushing over those tables, the anger that was within him. He saw these people making money out of God's worship, a self-indulgent, ego-driven, personal pursuit for personal gain. And he said, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. And I think of our modern Christmas time, tinsel time, when we get our cash out, that Christmas has become a time where many people will make money. This is one of our mountaintops in worship. And it's a time for self-indulgence, where we eat very well and give expensive gifts. Should the same words be given to us? My house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a place of self-indulgence. What will be your Christmas worship? What will you sacrifice in order that Jesus is first and not our own selfish pursuits? To say that Christmas time, before anything else, is a worship time is deeply penetrating. Because worship is a complete turning to the Lord God Almighty. It is to love Him heart, mind, soul, and strength with everything we've got. It is a time where we say our worship is to love for God and love for our neighbor. All of these things will ensure that it is not focused on ourselves. How will you worship the Lord this Christmas? I encourage you to do an inventory. Maybe now you've been prompted about things in your own life. Take time in quiet reflection and say, in this worship season, how am I ensuring that God through Jesus is number one? You might want to look at your financial goals and say, how can I be sure that my financial pursuits ensure that Jesus is number one and not me? Your career goals and how you're shaping your working life. How can you be sure that this is not selfish, ego-filled pursuits where you would like more power, more money, more prestige, more things? But how is that work sacrificed to the Lord in a way that is honoring to Him? That will be a different answer for every single person here, but it requires an answer. Because it's a big part of our lives, and it must come before the altar of worship before our God. I encourage you to take up those conversations with Christian friends, to tease out those ideas of what it means for our work life, our careers, our job, our vocation, to be laid before the Lord truly as sacrificial worship. What choices will you make on that basis? How will you give? How will you serve? Do you need a worship reformation in your career? In your family life? As a parent, as a child, as a brother, sister, aunt, uncle, neighbor, colleague. How are you a person before the Lord who brings honor and glory to God? You see, in Josiah's time, they needed a worship leader, a reformer for God. Roll on 100 years, they're returning from exile. They knew that God's wrath and righteous judgment had been upon them, and they had to restore worship. And so they needed Josiah's story. They needed worship reform in a new and special way, and so they recorded it and they shared it and they celebrated it together. Jesus knew that in the temple in His day, they needed worship reformers. Well, what about for you in your life personally? What about in your household, in your wider family, in your place of work? We continue to need worship reformers. People who will do that work of self-renovation, getting rid of anything and everything that brings power and glory to things, other people, money, financial pursuits, self-indulgence. To reform our lives for glory to God. Every single person here will have a different response to this message, because what it means for us personally to sacrifice our own selves as our spiritual act of worship will be intimately different for every single one of us, because you are gifted in a special way, because you have opportunities that are unique to you. That all of them fall under the grace and provision of God, which we now return to Him. What will be your worship this Christmas? So may we take up these conversations, these thoughts, conversations in prayer with God in our home groups and in our families, that we would be worship reformers for the glory of God this Christmas. Let's pause in quiet prayer. The music team's going to come forward and lead us in our last song. But let's allow a moment of quiet as we consider what it means for us personally and for us as a church to give fully and completely in worship to God this season.